Yee-haw, you can get up and dance to it if you want. If you like a little bit of Irish kind of folk flavour. Yeah, good to see. You can dance wholehearted too, go for it. Greg's leading the way. Friends, I play that for us to remind us of last week. Sorry, lid, I'll click now, thanks. Reminds us of wholehearted, and we followed through and started the journey of following Joshua, and we focused in on Joshua and Caleb. Now, wholehearted is the approach, and I encourage you to wholeheartedly put up your hands at the start of last week. Who was here last week? Put up two hands if you're here last week. Do it convictedly, okay? I didn't say you don't put them down yet. No, it was, yes, last week, encouraging you to stay whole, reminding us of the battle that Joshua was in, and Greg's already referred to that as well, that they faced. Yes, and Tim, he was doing it wholeheartedly, and Tim deserves an award. Well done, Tim. But I remind you of Caleb and Joshua. There they are, picture. That was our first talk, if you weren't here with us. And we focused on those two characters as we started this series. And now we're going to just move through a few of the chapters in Joshua. But we saw from these characters, they are squeaky clean characters, it seems. They'd be good politicians, wouldn't they? There's not kind of much dirt you can dig up on these two. And their track record, or as it is recorded in the scriptures for us, looks pretty clean. But realize that they're not to be idolized, but there are some great leadership lessons that we can learn from these two characters. And hopefully you took home some of those last week. But also, more importantly, that those two characters, Joshua and Caleb, point us to Jesus Christ. And we saw that how they did it as well. Caleb, in his character, his name means wholehearted. And I also learned last week that Aksha, an Indian version of wholehearted. Did Tim get that right? Oh, Caleb married Aksha, thank you. An Indian version of Aksha, sorry. Yes. But Caleb meaning wholehearted, and he... picking up on that. Also, that from the tribe that he's from, Caleb points us to Jesus. He's from the tribe of Judah, and we see that Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Then we thought about Joshua. Joshua points us to Jesus by name, and we see by name his Hebrew name, shortened version of Yahweh, and saves. The Lord saves, and then when that's translated into from Hebrew to Greek, we get Yeshua, or which we say Joshua. And so by name, he points us to Jesus. By nature, we see his faithfulness in following. And he's the one who says, let's go into the land. Him and Caleb are the two who come back and say that. And then we also see that he is the one who can actually, Joshua takes them into the promised land. And there's only a couple of places in the New Testament which mentions Joshua. One of them is in Hebrews 4, which talks about Joshua. They're one coming after Joshua, if he couldn't give true eternal rest. We actually need Jesus to bring that. And it points out and points us to Jesus there. He's the one who can take us into the eternal rest, the eternal promised land. And so Joshua was someone who points us to Jesus. That's a catch up from last week. If you weren't here, there you go. You don't even have to watch it. But I'll pray for us now and ask you to pray with me. Dear Lord, we want to thank you so much for your word, but we are aware that there are a lot of distractions. There are things that can discourage us. And so, Lord God, I would ask now that you'll help us to have ears to hear, that we'll have eyes to see what you have for us, and that we'll have hearts that are soft and that are ready to obey you wholeheartedly. And we ask and pray this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Well, have you ever felt discouraged? Have you ever felt a little bit weak? I wonder what you'd say to that question or answering that. If you feel a lack of strength, maybe it's physically you're feeling weak. I'm feeling a bit weak today, actually. I'm fighting off a bit of infection in my ear and eye. And I don't know how you're feeling, but spiritually, you might be feeling weak as well. I spoke to a man yesterday, a young dad, as I met with him, And he was sharing that, yeah, spiritually and emotionally, he was actually feeling quite low. Out of the scale of 2 to 10, he would say he's about 2. I don't know where you'd put yourself on that scale. Are you brave enough to share that with someone? 0 to 10, what would you say? We've got time. Do you want to do it? You feeling courageous? Maybe feeling a little bit scared about that, afraid? Depends who you're sat next to, doesn't it? Have a look at them. If you're courageous enough, maybe feel, if you put yourself on the scale, how you're feeling, whether it's physically, spiritually, or emotionally. You know, at the end of last year, emotionally, I wasn't tracking that well. And I don't know how it is for you today. But maybe if you just take a moment to share with someone, you know, online, you might want to share that with someone that you're sitting with or who you are with, but go for it. Take a moment. Be brave. Be strong. Be courageous. Just have to say a number to them. If you want to explain the number, you can explain the number. Maybe you're feeling a little discouraged and not much courage to face the situation that's going on for you at the moment, or the giants maybe that you see in the forefront, the giants that you might be up against. But a helpful thing to share, and to share with one another openly in church life. Well, today I want to say that the Lord desires that you be strong and you be courageous. And He has the ability, He has the means to give you that strength, give you that courage. And we're going to share a bit of time and look for that and look in His Word at that, because He wants to fill you with strength and He wants to fill you with courage. Isn't that good? Yes. Amen, brother. Verse 1 to 5, as we see Joshua, and we see the new Moses, really, I've named this. So follow along with me. We didn't read it, but I'll read it as we go. And starting at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. Here they are, standing on the edge of the promised land. That's the first thing that we see, the promised land. If you notice up there, there's a bit of a picture of that area. But the backstory, and this is Joshua, who's charged to do this, charged to take them into this place. There's a whole backstory to that, isn't there? And the backstory goes back in the Bible and even to Genesis 12, where God made a promise to Abram, who said He'd make you a great people, a numerous people, a nation. He'd give you a land and He'd make you a blessing to others. Well, it was long coming maybe to see how that promise would be fulfilled and if that promise would come too. We find the people in slavery at a time, and we're thinking, how is this going to work out, the Lord? What's the Lord got planned here? We see Moses, and he is raised up, and then we see Moses actually save them out of that slavery that they find themselves in Egypt. They're taken into the desert, where is a time where they'll actually get, Moses will receive the law, right, remember? And he'll receive the promise that they'll be taken into this land. And then they spent a whole lot of time wandering around. 40 years of wandering. And Moses had then brought them up to the edge of this land on the Jordan side there. They had actually defeated some of the kings that were there. And they're standing right there on the edge near the Jordan River to head in. And we see, just in our verses there, Moses is, the servant is dead, and then this is Joshua, and it's handed over to him. Follow along there, we see the land. Have a look in verse 3. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised to Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon. That's in the north. It's still in the north today, and it's still there, Lebanon. And from the great river, the Euphrates, it's pointing down to an area down in the south of that land, all the Hittite country, that is like the Canaanite country there, to the Great Sea. What is the Great Sea? If you have a look up there, Mediterranean, that's it. The Mediterranean, which is on the west. No east mentioned. Why no east? Because they're in the east. And they're standing on the east side of the Jordan in verse 14. As you may have noticed if you've prepared coming to church this morning. That is where they are. And that is where we're up to. So they're on the edge of the promised land. There's big promise which goes with them entering into the promised land. And the big promise is in verse 5. It says, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. That is a big promise, isn't it? And that is a big promise that he gives. It's restated in verse 17, or the second half of verse 17. It says, only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. And later on in chapter 3, it is shared again. Never leave, never forsake. A huge promise to God's people. Even in the crisis. The crisis of when you're standing and there's an army behind you about to attack you, you've got a river in front of you, can't go anywhere. He'll be with you in the crisis. And he parts the Red Sea and they go through. He'll be with you when you meet a crisis, when you get in across there and the Amalekites attack you. He'll be with you in the crisis. He'll be with you in the desert, even for the 40 years when you wander around, giving you provision, giving you leading. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. In verse 9, or the second half of verse 9, reminds us of that. Be strong. Well, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That is great news and a great promise. Great news and a great promise, which actually has big application for us. And we can apply that now. Sometimes you may not be sure where you're going or where things are going to. And this is a really reassuring thing for us to come back to. Even church leaders can have this. Lord, are you moving me or taking me to another place? Not sure exactly where this is going. If you're a Christian and you know the forgiveness and the promise of forgiveness that Jesus brings in his death and in his resurrection, if you believe his promise 100% that he'll be with you and the promise that he can take you to that eternal rest, if you're a Christian and believe that, you're a Christian. Know that he'll never leave you, never forsake you. That's really reassuring, isn't it? You say yes to that one. Wholeheartedly, yes. It is reassuring. It's reassuring when the doctor says you've got melanoma and you start going through that journey or some other sickness that comes upon you. It's reassuring when the mortgage stress or the mortgage debt is ramping up. It's reassuring when your marriage is under certain stresses or it's feeling like it's coming apart. It's reassuring just when you mess things up. You know, I said before, Caleb, Joshua and Caleb, they're the squeaky clean characters. But obviously they must have messed up somewhere, we just don't have it recorded. They're the pin-up boys of the Old Testament, really, aren't they? But if you really mess it up, school detention, school suspension, you mess it up with whatever it is, an infringement of the law, you lied, you really mess it up and your marriage feels like it's falling and failing, and you really mess it up, you've damaged a relationship because of your words or your lack of love. There's a call to be strong and courageous and know that I'll never leave you and never forsake you. And a reassuring word from the Lord for us to hear, for us today. Sound like an echo of the word of our Lord Jesus Christ? in Matthew, what does he say at the end, very end? I'll be with you. I am with you to the end of the age, to the end time. I'll be with you. I am with you. You notice who I am, he says? What is Moses to say to Pharaoh? Moses is to say, I am has sent me, Yahweh. That's his name. He has sent me. You go with Yahweh's authority, the Lord's authority. It's very reassuring. And when he says in context in Matthew 28, make and multiply disciples, you might be a little bit, feeling a little bit weak about that and thinking, I don't know how to exactly do that. I don't feel that strong about that. I'm a bit unskilled in that. I'm a bit unsure how to do that. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Be strong and be courageous. When it seems a bit difficult or it seems a bit hard. But the truth to come back to is that never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, whether it's in sickness, whether it's in health, whether it's where you mess things up. Keep coming back to that. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Because then you can be strong and then you can be courageous. Verse 6 through to verse 9. See there, have a look with me. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give to you. Be strong, be courageous. Why? Because you'll go into the promised land. That's what I promised. You'll go there. Because I promised. Verse 7, have a look. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful that you obey the law of Moses and all that's given to you. So he says, be strong. So you I'll continue on. Do not turn away from it from the right or from the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Verse 7, be strong and courageous because I've given you my word. They'll keep you on the straight and narrow. More of that in a moment. Verse 9, jump down to, and you'll see him say again, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Be strong because I'll be with you. Where you go, I go. Verse 18, it finishes off the last verses of the chapter. Says, only be strong and courageous. It finishes in the face of death and dying and people dying. Still, you can have strength and you can have courage. Well, let's apply that to us. And I think if I take you back to verse 8, it helps us to do that in one of the best ways. Do not let this book, the book of the law, depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will prosper and succeed and be successful. And so, friends, as we apply this and think about being strong, we're being strong when we are, and courageous when we actually have His Word, when His Word is in our minds. And so think it out. I want to encourage you to do that. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. That means keep coming back to it in your mind. That means ruminate on it and what those words said. And keep thinking about it as you go through your day. It means wrestle with some of those hard things that are there until the Lord shows you. That's what it means to be on your mind and think it out. But also be on our mouth, speak it out. Sometimes you just need to speak to yourself. Do you have good speaking to yourself? Sometimes you need a mantra, which is part of God's word, and just keep saying that word for the day, or that promise for the day, or that verse that you read. Sometimes you need to speak it out to others. We say we want to share the word to the plateau and beyond. Well, then we need to speak it out into other people's lives as well. And sometimes we just need to speak it into our situation, what's going on for us, and whatever we face for the week. How do we be strong and courageous? We keep coming back to His word, and that's where we get our strength, that's where we get our courage. Well, further on, as we travel through, we see in verse 10, there's some preparation that happens for Joshua and the people. Verse 10, he says, So Joshua ordered the officials and the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, we'll cross the Jordan here and go and take possession of the land the Lord the God is giving to us as our own. But to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember, the Lord commands that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest, and he has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. And so they're called to prepare for that and prepare for what is going to happen. And lastly, we see their response and then put this into action. And so in verse 16, then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. That's pretty wholehearted, isn't it? Whatever and wherever. Whatever. Whatever you command, Lord, we'll be strong and courageous and we'll do it. Wherever we'll go, Lord, wherever you call us to go, we'll be strong and courageous and we'll go. Israel said it. Can you say it? ABCH, is that what we're going to say? Well, we probably do, don't we? Yes? And we probably do want to say it wholeheartedly. But also know that, as I shared last week, sometimes we can do things quite half-heartedly. And we might go from here thinking, yeah, I want to do that wholeheartedly. But our heart wanes and it waxes. And we realize that we haven't done it wholeheartedly. But the great news is that Jesus not only said it, he did it, didn't he? He did it. Whatever, even if it takes the cup, even if it takes the cross, wherever you send me, Lord, whatever. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And so we start to see the heart of Jesus and wholeheartedly how he did whatever and he went wherever the Lord sent him. And I pray, look, that that will really strengthen you to do what the Lord calls you to do and what he's calling you to this week. Whatever you're calling me, Lord, this week, wherever you want me to go, whoever you want me to meet, whoever you want me to speak into their life, I want to do it. How about we pray for each other's heart in that? Dear Lord God, we thank you that Jesus had a huge heart for us and a huge heart for your people. And we thank you that he was wholehearted in every way, where we can be half-hearted at times and desire to be wholehearted. We can slip into half-heartedness. And so we pray, whatever you want us to do this day, going from this place, and wherever you want us to go, that we may be willing to do that. We may be available to you. And Lord God, we may be open to what you have for us. And so, Lord, we ask by your Spirit to lead us, direct us, guide us, and keep us open and ready whatever it is, wherever we're going, to do it with you, knowing that never will you leave us and never will you forsake us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.